What are your thoughts about continuation of bevacizumab on disease progression, either in the metastatic setting or patients who are on an adjuvant trial and then develop progression while on bevacizumab?
Continuation of bevacizumab through progression has both a theoretical and a practical issue. And we may never have complete answers to all variations on the theme of this question. So a lot has to do with our preconceptions about the mechanisms of resistance to bevacizumab and whether they're likely to be conserved or not in the setting of disease progression. That is, at progression, are patients really resistant to bevacizumab, or are they only resistant to the chemotherapy, or both? We don't know. And I think tumors being fairly heterogeneous and able to produce many factors that allow them to be resistant to chemotherapy, I see no reason why they should not be able to produce factors which confer resistance to anti-VEGF therapy, even though it's the endothelial cell compartment which is targeted by anti-VEGF therapy, and the endothelial cell compartment is genetically stable. However, the tumor compartment is not. And although not directly targeted, the tumor can produce many other angiogenic factors which could confer resistance. You can also come up with reasons why those mechanisms may be less likely than resistance mechanisms to chemotherapy. All of that said, I think the easiest approach is to realize the definitions of progression in a clinical trial are a useful guide for how we should treat our patients in routine clinical management. On a clinical trial, at the time of progression, defined usually by RECIST progression of 20%, that is a 20% increase in the sum of up to 10 unidimensional lesions, the patient was declared to have progression. What we have not yet been able to figure out in our clinical trials or in our practice is how to take into account the rate of progression, not just progression as a binary outcome, stable or progression. If a patient progresses at 2 to 4 months on therapy, I think it's fairly clear that what we're giving that patient is not working, and we should do other things for that patient. If the patient has 10 or 20% progression after 2 years, that may be a very different scenario. And I also think we need to appreciate that there may be a little bit of context-dependent complexity as well. And by that, I mean a patient may have a mixed response. Okay. And as you remember, by standard clinical trials criteria, the development of any one new lesion is declared progression. There may be patients who have one new small lesion and have overall reductions in tumor burden that are significant. If things are otherwise stable and doing well, I think it's within the treating physician's discretion to determine whether or not the patient is likely still benefiting. I do think we need to be fairly conservative, though. While there are going to be isolated cases of patients who are clearly the best case scenario, where the current definitions of progression do not reflect benefit, in general, the two track together. And I think it would be bad for patients for us to just dismiss the potential of progression as a reason to switch what we're doing for that patient. If what we're doing is not working, we should move on. If in our hearts we truly believe there is benefit and we have data to document that benefit for the patient, I think as a field we need to learn how to incorporate other measures of benefit beyond simply response or progression alone. And that's why actually overall survival benefit is a very nice index. There needs to be prospective, randomized clinical trials done to answer your question. It's a perfect question. It's going to be increasingly important as we get more therapies, which potentially may improve outcomes and tantalize us with the potential to turn cancer into a chronic disease. We are not near that yet. But the longer we're able to maintain disease control in the setting of acceptable toxicities, the more the issue you raise is going to come front and center to clinical management, and it needs to be dealt with good prospective clinical research data.